GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. George, in South Portland this morning, a privilege to connect with a former police chief, now an author of a book called Living with Mr. Fahrenheit. You want to welcome Lisa Beecher to the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. She's right on line three.
Yeah, I'm very interested in talking to her. Great background.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great background. Rick, you want to be careful because she graduated from the academy. So she can take you and I both on here. So be careful what you say.
Lisa, welcome to our program. We know that both you and your husband, first responders, and you've written a book called Living with Mr. Fahrenheit. I wondered if that was a reference to a song by Queen called Don't Stop Me Now when you say Mr. Fahrenheit. But tell us about your book, Living with Mr. Fahrenheit.
My husband and I were both Portland police officers, and we had been for a number of years when he had a psychotic break. He went to a psychiatric hospital, became stabilized, and went back to work for a while. But we went through some very difficult times as a family. We had two children, and they were young at the time. So we worked in a job in a culture that doesn't really allow us to talk about mental health openly. My husband was worried about his job, about how he'd be negatively affected, negative repercussions, that sort of thing. I originally started writing the book for my family because we've been through so much. My husband had a serious mental illness, and it wasn't easy. So I started writing the book for my family. I wanted everything down in one place. I wanted my children to be able to see what they had gone through, to be proud of it. And we were still together as a family, which was rather extraordinary in itself. And a couple of years into the writing, it took me 4 years to write this, a couple of years in, there started being more news stories about police officer suicides, dying by suicide. And more officers die by suicide every year than are killed in the line of duty. And it's from unresolved trauma. It's from being repeated exposure to traumatic events and working in a culture that doesn't really openly support getting the help you need mental-wise in order to do the job. So I thought, well, that's actually what this book is about. It's about my husband's repeated exposure to trauma. It was unresolved. He had never been able to reconcile himself as that warrior, that devastation expert, the person that runs in when everyone else is running out, but also having human vulnerability. Our culture didn't tell us it's a matter of biology, that if you're repeated exposure to trauma, there are going to be changes to your nervous system, and it's going to have a negative effect if it's not addressed.
More and more people are coming out and talking about this issue, going public with what happened to them. And it really does touch a nerve when people tell us what we in the public never think about. That we read the stories, we hear the news reports. I've talked to police officers who had to go and knock on doors and tell people their children have been killed in a car accident and that type of thing. That's got to have a tremendous impact on first responders. It just has to have.
It does, and we haven't been honest with the public. We haven't been honest with ourselves. But the public doesn't really know what it's like to go out shift after shift and go to trauma scene after trauma scene. And we walk away stoically because that's what we're supposed to do. We've been told that's what we're supposed to do. And not realize that we're being affected by that ourselves. And until our culture changes and it openly supports us being able to help ourselves and to have culturally competent therapists and doctors and people who can help us along the way, there are still going to be those officers dying by suicide.
Lisa, a listener sends this. First, they write, thank her, capital letters, for sharing this account. They ask again what the name of the book is. I will tell them it's Living with Mr. Fahrenheit. This listener wants to know, does she think this stress is affecting the performance of law enforcement in our state? And is it affecting recruiting new law enforcement in our state?
I do believe it's affecting law enforcement. It definitely affects the work that we're doing. How can it not? I mean, we're whole human beings, and if we're only attending to portions of ourselves and neglecting other parts, then that's going to have an effect, and not just on the street. But then you take the uniforms off and you go home, and you're supposed to be a supportive, loving parent or spouse, and you've got you're carrying these huge burdens. Where do you put all of that? And how does that affect careers and home life? And I can tell you from having lived it, it is greatly distressing. When I was writing this book, I made a decision not to swerve, not to take those easy paths, not to do a light dusting of it. I go deep down into what happened to us. My children were deeply affected. I was, my husband as well. And we couldn't talk about it. This is a 20-year journey that we didn't talk about. It was lived within our four walls, and we had no one to talk about. I thought we were alone and isolated. I thought we were the only ones, when in fact, we're just one of millions of families dealing with mental illness. And I'm glad that people are talking about it more, but we're still not talking about it in the first responder world like we have to. This is an eye-opening book. It's raw. It was difficult for me to write, to relive all of that again, but I wanted to do it. It was a labor of love for the first responder world, for military people, for everybody, really.
Lisa is the former police chief, I believe, at the University of Southern Maine. Was a police officer with the Portland Police Department. Your husband's Jamie. We haven't mentioned his name yet, but let's talk about your husband. You were first responders. You were going along. When Jamie has a psychotic break, without giving too many details, tell me what happened. What psychotic break? He emotionally just broke down?
Well, it happened very dramatically at about 3 a.m. in our house one quiet Sunday morning on a holiday weekend. And I think I would leave the details to that for people to read about in the book. But it took me 9 hours to convince him to go willingly for help to the psychiatric hospital. He did everything he was supposed to do. But the psychotic break, I believe, came from unresolved trauma. He had unresolved trauma from his childhood. He wouldn't go for counseling. And on top of that, he worked one of the busiest beats in the city, where there's a proliferation of bars down in the old port and the waterfront industry. But he was also on the SWAT team. He was a U.S. Marine. He was a strong person. And in his eyes, he became weak to admit that he was having trouble. And I knew he was having trouble because he was having bad dreams every night, but he wouldn't go for counseling. He was afraid it would hurt his job, that they'd find out he was going for counseling, use it against him. He wouldn't be promoted. He might not be selected for that next special assignment or whatever. And that's a pervasive thought that runs through first responders.
Mm-hmm. Military as well.
Yes.
Lisa, how do we help? As ordinary citizens, maybe some of us know law enforcement. We have friends. We have family. How do we help?
Well, we as an industry will be helped when our leaders forward-thinking chiefs start making it okay for us to admit that we're human, that we can't just stoically walk away from scene after scene and not be affected by it. We need chiefs and leaders who will talk about their own trauma. Make it okay. But we also need town and city managers to be educated about what happens in the normal human brain with repeated exposure to trauma. Because they're the ones that handle the budgets. And if you keep cutting first responder budgets, not only are they going to have trouble going out and just doing the job itself, but we're going to have more problems with recruitment because the supports that are needed won't be there because the budgets have been cut. There's no money for education. It all starts with education, I think. I wouldn't know what I know now, except I was forced to learn it because my husband became mentally ill. He went back to work for 3 years, by the way. He got stabilized and went back to work. And I detail that in the book. But there were a variety of factors that worked against him, and he finally had to leave. And things didn't get better after that.
It occurs to me, Lisa, that you both were police officers, both first responders. We have more and more female officers today than we had maybe 20, 30 years ago, for sure. Is this more difficult for the male with the kind of a macho attitude rather than a female? It hit him differently than it hit you.
I don't know that it's a matter of male versus female. I really don't have, I don't know that it's that. I was more open to counseling and therapies because I had a difficult childhood as well, but I wanted to make sense of that. So for me, it was exciting to go to counseling, find out about why things happened the way they did, how it affected me, and how I could improve that so my life could be better. For him, he came from, well, in his mind, you just didn't admit that you weren't strong. And I don't think that's just men versus women. I can only speak for us. I don't really see that as a, I see that as a cultural thing. I mean, how do we reconcile that we're the warriors, the devastation experts that run in and do everything while everyone else is running away, and we're very good at our jobs. But how do we reconcile that with our own human vulnerability, that it's normal to be affected by trauma? We need leaders that are leading the way, telling us that, telling us about their own experiences, and making it okay for us to get the help we need.
Lisa, in our final moment, is Jamie okay with you sharing this information, writing this information, referring to him as Mr. Fahrenheit?
My husband and my children, I had to have them on board or I never would have written this book. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of conversations. And he was worried about how people would view him. Mm-hmm. He worries to this minute. I mean, the book's being released today. He's worried about how people will see him. But we also have lived our lives of service, and we want to continue to be of service. And he knows that we have a rather unique story that would help other people. So he's willing to put aside his misgivings and do something for the greater good.
This listener, I think, sums it up in writing a text message to us, listening to you right now, Lisa. Please ask her to shake her husband's hand for me and say thank you.
I will certainly do that. He'll be very happy.
The name of the book is Living with Mr. Fahrenheit, Lisa Beecher in South Portland. Thank you for talking with us this morning on GHRT.
Thank you for having me on.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.